Well, that gives us a little less than an hour. And I don't want to say this is the good part. The whole purposes of God, as we've had today, is the good part. But the glories to follow is a wonderful thought that it was for something that Christ endured what he did. And God is satisfied, and we'll see the results of his satisfaction. Let's look at Isaiah 53, and we touched on this already. Isaiah 53:10. Beginning with, he shall see a seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. 11 through 12, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. To think, transgressors have an out, a way by which they can be found acceptable in the sight of God, a holy God. Totally undeserving, based upon the character of God, the God of love, who, as we heard today, has no pleasure that the souls of men should die, but that all should be saved, repent and be saved. But having done that arduous work on Calvary's cross, to God's satisfaction, we read in the first two verses that we started with, that, and was mentioned also, that there are glories, not just the glory, but glories that follow. What are these glories? And we will, through these verses that are suggested, there might be more, just get a handle on what the Lord has accomplished through his work. More than we think. But certainly, every one of his glories will be revealed to us. God would have us to know these things, that we might continue to delight in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we might just look at what we, the Spirit would lead us to know in these verses of the certain glories that we see.
We saw when we opened from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11 that the Spirit of Christ, which was in the prophets, in the Old Testament prophets, prophesied of the of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow his sufferings. And so when you look at the prophetic scriptures, when you look at the scriptures of the prophets, we'll see many, as we saw Isaiah 53, prophecies connected with his sufferings and so on. And then we'll see many other prophecies connected with his glory, often with the glorious coming kingdom, right? The restoration of all things, refreshment from the presence of the Lord, restitution of all things that the prophets have spoken of since the world began, the kingdom in this world. One of the striking things about Psalm 22 is that you get both of those things in the one prophecy. Verse 1, as we've seen, and right down to verse 20, we get the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ prophetically. And then in verse 22, it says, I will declare my name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the congregation I will praise thee. This is the resurrection of Christ. So from there on in, it's glory after glory, ever-expanding circle of glories. We would see verse 22 fulfilled, perhaps, in John's Gospel, chapter 20, where the Lord tells Mary, go tell my brethren, I send to my Father, my God, and your God. But when we look at, for example, verse 27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, he is the governor among nations, and so on. Then we see verse 29 that we might want to sort of maybe connect a little with Philippians chapter 2. And they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship, and they shall go down to the dust. All they that go down to the dust, rather, shall bow before him. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. And then we get, again, the same with Isaiah 53, a seed shall serve him, and so on. But, you know, we can see the Lord Jesus now. He's crowned with glory and honor. We, by faith, see that he's now, and know that he's crowned with glory and honor. The coming day, every eye shall see him, and the glory shall be revealed. Colossians chapter 3, that glory will be revealed, and you will be revealed with him, manifested with him. But we get, for example, Habakkuk chapter 2, where it says, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And so there's many prophecies we can look at. So it's not one glory, there's many glories. But by faith, we know him now, crowned with glory and honor.
If I may suggest that in the two verses of the heading, if I want to look at Luke 24, perhaps ought Christ suffer and then enter into his glory, perhaps if I think of Transfiguration Mountain, when he enters in full power and he displays who he is. But in 1 Peter, it is the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should come after. And one of these glories that you have mentioned, some of these glories that we've seen after his death, I like that verse in Acts chapter 2. When Peter, the one who brought that verse, he says, let the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus, which you have crucified, God made him both Lord and Christ. That is, in a very new glorious way that was never exercised before, that was never experienced before, because you would say to yourself, he was always Lord. He was always Christ. But what God is declaring to us, he has made him in a new way now. It is not only over Israel. It is not only the anointed over Israel, but he is the Christ over all, the extension of it, worldwide dominion, rather than just Israel. And what a glory, one of these glories that Christ received after resurrection is God made him both Lord and Christ in a wider circle than ever before known as far as Christ when he was here on earth.